Thank you. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. manufacture parts. Yeah, because when you have a 3D printer, there's not a whole lot of waste involved. So you can make, you know, items pretty strong, very light, and you can make them out of, you know, nanomaterials. You know, we're not quite there yet as far as I know, but, you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that. We're welding nanowires with light. You know, because at the nanoscale, you know, the molecules that, you know, and the elements that make up our universe here, you know, they behave a little differently. Carbon is clear, okay? So, you know, you make a sheet of graphene or you know, a sheet of carbon carbon nanomolecules, you have this clear, transparent sheet. And when light happens to pass through it, guess what it generates?
Oh, no, not electricity.
Of course it generates electricity. And not only that, it's also going to generate electricity when infrared light hits it. Which means, you know, that argument, oh, the damn sun didn't shine at night, kind of don't work anymore. I mean, it's not going to do the same as, you know, in a full broad daylight, you know what I mean? But it's still going to be there. You know, and the whole thing is, we all know this with solar, and we all know that we're about to see a massive mobilization into it.
Oh, but not to rain on anybody's parade. But the right wing is, the little monkeys are jumping up and down and flinging poo all over the monkey house right now in celebration of the collapse of another one of those government giveaways.
What happened now? Which one?
Solar Trust. Down, down she goes. Another taxpayer-funded failure.
Was it Thin Film?
No. This is Solar Trust of America, owners of the development rights for the world's largest solar power project, filed bankruptcy in Germany yesterday. Couldn't meet a deadline for a federal loan guarantee last year and weren't eligible for another loan. Chapter 11 filing on Monday listed assets between $1 million and $10 million and liabilities between $50 million and $100 million, according to the Washington Post. They held the rights for the 1,000-megawatt Blythe Solar Power Project in the Southern California desert. So the right wings, I got my little right-wing announcement earlier today. Well, they've done it again, see? Trying to pick winners is what he's trying to do. When he could have just given that money to the oil industry and drilled a moose into the ground, and we'd all be paying 19 cents a gallon at the pump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. They're so delusional. Yeah, well, I think this is probably sad for the wound, because I did a fair amount of ass kicking on these climate deniers and hydrocarbon industries. Pretty much, you know, you have to stop it out where you see it, and I certainly, you know, yeah, I'm not taking no quarter. I'm putting these boys on a duel, and well,
just running around slapping them with gloves and stuff, and I will see you at the sunrise, sir.
Well, you know, I mean, how many times do you think you're going to sit there and say to me, you know, how many arguments am I going to get into about the medieval warm period to the point to where I'm going to do so much reading on it, I know more than any right-winger is even going to attempt.
What about the little ice age?
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, I mean, and the beauty is, I'll tell you one thing right now, another thing that I'm kind of noticing is that scientists are coming out of the lab. I can't pronunciate the word, but there's little mineral crystals that they found in some peninsula and, you know, in Antarctica, that little peninsula that sticks up, kind of goes to touch South America. And, you know, they found that these crystals, you know, coincided with something about the medieval warm period. And, you know, of course, right away, where was mankind? Where was our cars? Blah, 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 blah. And 2 days after that, the researcher actually came out and said, you know, I don't know why you people are sitting here trying to extrapolate, you know, what you're extrapolating from my data, but you're wrong. You know, our study did not, you know, go against anthropogenic global warming. This is, you know, that's a well-funded fact. It's just what it is. This is what it is. You know, and this is the thing. When you argue with these dummies, they'll tell you up.
And they are dummies.
Oh, they're dummies. Up is down. Since when? It's up. What, you don't see that? How do you not? This is a simple little graph, and I know it's, you know, nuanced, and there is some noise in there, but it's going up. I mean, it's clear. It's clear as day. Look at it. You know, oh, look at that medieval warm period. Oh, look at the satellite imagery now. Look at the heat maps. Look at where we're seeing all the temperature change.
Well, but the problem there is, once again, their cafeteria nature in picking and choosing, because they never talk about the fact that man can't possibly affect the climate. They never talk about those ice cores from Greenland that correspond with the wild burning down of the Iberian Peninsula when the Roman Republic fell in love with silver.
It's the same thing, they'll celebrate, the solar trust collapse, and they'll try to blame, Obama, they'll blame Solyndra on Obama, because we all know, President Barack Hussein Obama and his time machine. He invaded Poland,
Sherman, set the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, he bombed Pearl Harbor, he's done everything, anything that's ever done.
Lindbergh, baby.
He's tricky, he's tricksy. Yeah, he doesn't mess around. But in reality, Solyndra, was part of the Department of Energy's 1703 program, I believe, for the loan guarantee for energy, and building infrastructure like the government kind of should be doing. And this is a program that, we all know it's not a perfect program, especially when he had it, but I gotta applaud him for it. There's so much to kick George W. Bush about. All right, I won't dig it in this time. That's a good thing. Thank you, George W. Bush, for, having some sort of foresight and trying to look green, for greenwashing yourself a little bit.
His daddy bought a Chevy Volt, right?
Hey, nice looking car.
Yeah.
First
bought it.
GM I want.
Bought
yeah.
it for, but I love the backstory on it. He didn't buy it for him and Barb. He bought it for Neil. Because Neil's got that little tie hooker problem, and right.
The thing I say is funny too. That, they like to flip out and freak out about the Volt too, and it's selling them. It's like, you see, nobody wants them. Bullshit. I want one.
I just don't have the 40 large laying around.
Yeah, want and capability are two different things, dummy. God, these people. It's just ridiculous.
If the early adopters will just get out there and buy them, price will come down.
It will. Yeah.
I mean, did you hear that in the Green News report about 40% of GM's spike in sales that led it to be the number one seller of automobiles again were coming from their fuel-efficient fleet? Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The neat thing is, these fuel-efficient GM vehicles are not Vegas, Albert. I remember the Vega. Just terrifying little boxes. Okay? These are good cars.
Yeah. The fit and finish is, because let's be real, real honest, GM and the Bush administration and Clinton administration and previous to that were garbage. Plastic. Garbage. When you're buying a $50,000 Cadillac and it's got them big hollow feeling plastic buttons on all over the dashboard, and I know there's old people drive those cars, and I know their eyesight ain't so hot, but come on, you gotta have a little more pride than, the little nubs are still on the plastic dials. What garbage, just junk. But now it looks like, they're starting to care about fit and finish. I mean, I guess that's what also happens when they buy European cars, and the Europeans, they're not gonna, we all know they don't even eat the olive oil that's 6 months old, so they're not going to sit here and buy that kind of crap. And there's nothing wrong with having good high standards. It's the same thing with all these, I'm telling you, with polysilicone, with the prices where it's at, that's what killed the Solyndra. I said that to you years ago, right? A year ago when we were talking about it. When Solyndra first came to be, polysilicone was $144 a kilogram. How many pounds of polysilicone, and that makes up a third of the cost of the panels? Well, the panels were $700, $800. So, and how long ago did we talk about that copper laser shooting through the hexane gas to raise the surface area of these panels?
Well, and not only that, it was surprisingly not reported in places like Radio Rwanda, but it was just less than a month ago that the U.S. busted China for essentially dumping solar into the American market. But where was Fox Business and Stuart Varney to talk about that relative to Solyndra? Yeah, nowhere to be found. Well, of course they couldn't compete. They were dealing in a dumped market. Go ask the steel industry how easy it is. That's steel, by God. That's American. Ask them how they compete in a market where Chinese crap gets dumped.
And just
because that's not something sissy like solar now.
Yeah, no, and that's the saddest thing. You know, these are the people that, you know, they really could use it, because they, you know, a lot of times these conservatives, you know, especially down in Mississippi stand and all the stand states, you know, these people ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, much less, they're always complaining about energy costs. Well, energy costs is only going to keep continuing to rise if you keep using hydrocarbons, you dummy. You know, but as it stands right now today, with solar being about $1 per watt, it's on parity with hydrocarbons now, and, you know, it's only going to go to 75 cents, and that's going to go to 50 cents. So as we stand today right now, you could pretty much erase your monthly utility bill for power, for electric power. You can do that in 5 years from right now. And then next year it'll be 3.5 years. And the it's going to continue to drop.
Yeah, just like the way computer technology. Bloop, 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 yeah.
Exactly. Except because we're already going, you know, 7/8 the speed of light, you know, in comparison to 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You know, that's like the thing is, a lot of times these people are stuck in 1976. You know, where they think, oh, it's not ready yet. What do you mean it's not ready? What are you talking about? It's not ready yet. Anybody who's ever bought, you know, panels or what have you, it's like, oh yeah, you know, during the winter our power bill's $6, and then in the summertime they owe us $63. I mean, a power company paying you? What? I mean, come on now. Don't be foolish. Don't cut your nose off to spite your face. You know, electricity didn't go away when Tesla beat Edison. You know, it didn't. It was better to send AC current. It was better if we didn't have AC current. God, you know how fast we would have burned through our coal with DC power generators every quarter mile? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. You know,
yeah,
even Edison.
Right, and consider, you know, consider what that coal baron said in that overheard conversation. You know, I don't really care what the EPA does about burning coal. I don't have to burn a damn bit of it over here. India and China will take all I can ship.
Temporarily. I think we're going to see, you know, if they're making a glut of solar panels to put and send here, you know, there's nothing to stop them from putting them on there in their cities. There's nothing to stop them from putting them everywhere. And when you look at especially a place like India, you know, which is notoriously warm and sunny, you know, you think about what kind of good that's going to do. You know, that's going to raise up everybody. It's going to raise, you know, the quicker we get electrons to these people in a clean way, you know, they're not going to burn coal. They're not going to burn those things. You know, a lot of times these third world countries are a little ahead of the curve on us in regards to, you know, organic and in regards to, I mean, heck, the Hindus won't even kill their cow. They'll starve. They look at the cow as a member of their family. These are people who, you know, from my outside view, take nature seriously. You know, they're the ones, you know, I forget her name, the doctor, but she's real smart. I forget her name, Indra. Maybe her name is, but she's always talking about, you know, the soil and organic agriculture and so on and so forth. You know, these are huge movements. You know, these are people who are doing massive good. You know, what the hell is Alpha Energy doing for the good of, you know, the Indian woman? Are they creating these small little bank loans and, you know, so the Indian woman can meet their bills and, you know, build credit? And, you know, are they doing anything like that? No.
No. No. Sorry. No.
No. No. They don't.
They're just playing in an accounting dodge. With Bank of America, whom incidentally Sierra Club continues to remain in a business relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, well, speaking of disgust and stuff, well, GM, well, look at GM. GM renounced their membership with the Heartland Institute. That's also very good news.
Yes, it is.
Now we're going to have, yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing is, and this is the thing, just to kind of address the, you know, the thread of what you guys are really getting at when you're talking about a 3D printer, you and Sandra, The writing is on the wall. You know, when we do get to this point, you know, where we do become a resource-based economy, and everyone has access to the resource just like you have access to air that you breathe, when everyone has solar panels, when we have solar panels everywhere and the road is electrified and you're charging your car, I mean, money is going to, I mean, for the first time in, what, 15,000 years, it's going to start to and its influence. You know, we're not going to see, I don't think, I don't know. I mean, you know, you look at my children, your children, everyone, you know, everyone that's listening to this right now has more information available at the tips of their fingers than all human beings that ever existed combined versus just you. I mean, as smart as, what's his face and this guy and that guy and Tesla and what have you, they're not going to beat you if you had access to the, your little phone and you're just doot, 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 doot. No, what happened? You'll beat them in Jeopardy. You'll smash them. It's just that we have all this information. We have all this education. We have all this potential. And, these companies like, that do fight this progress, they know that the end game is they're not going to really have much of a place. These big power companies, we'll still need, we'll still need power companies to maybe, to create a backbone for the grid. But we do, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want people to jump, too quick, but we need Generation 5 nuclear power plants. We need that. We need that to just, A, we have the material, and B, subsection of A, these Generation 5 power plants eat up, they use as fuel the spent fuel rods from all the Generation 1s that melt down and all the crap that we're still using. So these Generation 5s could potentially clean up a problem that we're going to be looking at for the next 50,000 years if we don't do something with. And I don't know about you, but I don't trust anybody, any corporation, any government, any person to be able to keep, how many metric tons of spent fuel rods that are still radioactive for 50,000 years. We don't have that kind of luxury. Who the hell has that kind of luxury to send off a problem for 50,000 years? We don't have that.
For people who may not have a clue how to use it, and the mere discovery of which may prove to be the end of what happens to be humanity at that point in time. Same way I feel about multi-billion lakes of toxic sludge. Yeah, same thing.
Florida is in Georgia. Florida is in Georgia, dumbass.
See? By the way, a note...
There's toilet water on it.
Sorry. From the toilet? a note coming in for you from Robert in Australia. He says, solar panels are popping up on roofs all over my suburb, all over Sydney. I need to send you some snaps at some point. The state government seems to be doing its very best to wreck the rebate system where the electric company buys back power, but that doesn't seem to be slowing people down, especially as electricity prices skyrocket here in Oz.
Amen.
Just tell you one little thing, Albert. I've made this drive so many times lately, it's getting to the point where I can pinpoint, it's just sort of etched into my mind, the highway itself. You know how that gets when you drive a stretch of road a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you're going south on 81 and you're getting ready to turn west on 64,
mm-hmm.
The exit right before I head west on 64 is another Lexington, Virginia exit, and there's some hotel that sits on a hill there.
Okay.
And... you're driving, same old, it's all just, it's just like when an Eagles song comes on the radio and you can still remember where the 8-track player went click, click in the middle of the song. And you miss the click, click when it's not there. Well, I'm tooling along, coming back. I'm like, what the is that? And I'm really, really sensitive to seeing wind turbines because I get excited.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, looky, yeah. Looky, there's the future.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I went and did one of those W.C. Fields double takes because it took me a minute to process that them things over there were wind turbines. They weren't up on stalks and spinning like propellers.
Okay. No.
They were vertical. I mean, their blades were vertical, and they were round, and they were sitting on the roof of this very nondescript hotel, who had apparently decided to cut down on its electricity bill so as to maximize profits, by generating their very own electricity. And you know what? There in that little corner of Virginia, those wind turbines were just going, and I stopped a few minutes later to put some gas in the vehicle, and it was not a windy day, but there those turbines were going, and I went, I looked it up, and you know how old that design is?
Very.
the earliest incarnation of that vertical wind turbine design go back to the Persians.
Oh, that's is a lot older than I even thought.
And I don't mean like the Persians of the 17th century.
No.
I mean the Persians of constantly at war with the Greeks. Mm-hmm. Persians.
Yeah.
Xerxes, Artaxerxes.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, Cyrus, you know, those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and bang, there it is on a hotel roof in Lexington, Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It makes sense. Why not? There's no reason to not do it. I mean, and the thing is you know, I mean, you know, you argue for this, we argue for this, and our side, we cannot sit on the bench. We cannot just sit. We have to demand it. Demand it constantly. Solar panels on every roof. Windmills where applicable. And if you look, they have a map now on the internet that takes all the live data from the, you know, it's about an hour lag or 45 minutes. But you can look at the wind map of the United States and you can see it's beautiful actually. But it shows you where the wind is flowing and how it's spinning around on it. And you're just like, well, we're bathed in electricity. We're soaking in it. We're swimming in it. You know, it's like we're zooplankton looking for the ocean. Yeah, we're in it. I mean, we are just swimming in energy potential. And for us to sit here and soak up the last, you know, petroleum hydrocarbons out of the earth and, you know, to dig and, you know, to drill, you know, I mean, you know, they say drill, drill, drill. I'm going to take drill, baby, drill. I'm going to keep saying drill, baby, drill. Solar panels on every roof, windmills where applicable, and drill, baby, drill for geothermal. I mean, we got, what are you, crazy? How do you not want to take advantage of it? You know, the only people that don't want to take advantage are the people that are profiting.
But you see, Albert, that's great. That science fiction technology you're talking about there, that's going to be so effective for us in about 1,000 years. But right now, we need our coal, and we need our oil, and we need our gas. Because it's just not ready.
Yeah.
Now, 1,000 years from now, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you're trying to hurt me here. You're really trying to hurt my digestive system.
Well, I got one more for you. I've been saving this one.
you say this.
I know. Well, but this is just precious. Oh, where did it go? I had a story out of Australia. You remember, and I'm sure you do, what was it, a couple of years ago when Don Blankenship went down to the Rotary Club of MacDowell County and delivered his important speech on the future of humanity and said, if we don't keep burning coal, you're going to wind up just like China, where you got 9 families living to an apartment and everybody on bicycles. That's where public transportation leads you. He did it. I mean, you can look at Don Blankenship, like YouTube. It's all there. It really isn't.
I picture that guy from the wrestling. I don't ever watch the wrestling, but when I was younger, I used to. And,
oh, yeah, he's got that sleazy little pornographer mustache that just kind of crawls over his upper lip. And he talks like this.
Yeah, the funeral director guy that used to walk.
And the next thing you know, you're a bunch of communists living 9 families to a 3-bedroom apartment, if it's that many, and your plumbing's 12 miles away.
What a fool.
Well, apparently there's a goober just like that in Australia.
Yeah, of course. They have a fair amount of coal there.
Well, but I don't understand what it is about being a coal baron that makes you a paranoid maniac.
Mercury.
Bingo! That was easy.
Yeah, heavy metals.
and not the fun melodic kind, neither.
No, not at all. Yeah,
so down in Australia, dude is giving a speech, and I can't find it, and I wish I could.
Yeah, they're Harkonnen swine. That's what they are.
They are. Oh, you beautiful evil, my baron.
Pustules.
But he's given, and he says that, what is it? The CIA, no kidding, it says this in public and people don't just like laugh and walk out of the room. He says the CIA is trying to kill the Australian coal industry. Because the CIA is... No, really, really, I mean...
Yeah.
Really, the CIA. Because
they're
trying to advance the green agenda.
Oh, you know, I'm so sick of that green agenda line. You... What? What? You know, and this is the thing, I had to explain. You.
I didn't know there was that much brown acid left over from Woodstock, and somebody's been stockpiling.
Brother Bob, they're freebasing it. I mean... I mean, we're sitting here.
Is that the 2012 warning? Don't freebase the brown acid.
Yeah, seriously, what is wrong with you? The CIA is forwarding the green agenda
for Obama.
For Obama, the CIA. Now you know, I know that nobody. You know, none of us have love for the CIA in our hearts. I mean, if they do a good thing, great, but most of the time we just expect them to run drugs and weapons and perform coups and all the other crap they do. You know, so, you know, there's not a lot of love in my heart for them. But even that would be, you know, I can't see them doing that, the green agenda. And you know what the green agenda means? We're all going to the camps. We're all going to be turned into Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Whatever other.
I'm going to be over there under the Northwest Watchtower selling cigarettes.
Oh my God! I just don't get this. I don't understand where their point of reference is. The CIA. I mean, I hope the CIA is doing the good work because that's good work. I applaud them if they are doing that, which I don't believe.
Remember, this program is monitored in the bowels of the National Security Administration. We know that for a fact.
Hey, maybe we're getting through.
Yeah, Agent Fred.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I mean,
yeah.
You know, and these things happen and they make my little mind wonder. I caught a snippet of last week's Bill Maher, and Van Jones was one of the guests, and they were talking about Trayvon Martin. And somewhere along the way, and a couple of weeks before, in discussing the whole Geraldo hoodie thing, I had said something like, "No, Geraldo, you goddamn dummy. It wasn't the hoodie. Trayvon Martin would have been gunned down by this homicidal freak had he been wearing a tuxedo."
Yes, he did. Hey, Van, how you doing, buddy? Really like you on this one.
Hey, Van, so there he is on Bill Maher, and he says,
yep.
What, do I have to send my children out in a tuxedo?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm probably making too much of, you know, that's just a little, you know, that's just a coincidence. Any mind could go there.
Nah, you're the heart, you're the pulse. And if they had a brain, they'd listen. Van Jones has a brain. He's probably listening.
Hey, Van.
You know. Hey, Van, how you doing, buddy? And hi, Mr. CIA agent.
Yeah, that's Agent Fred. That's P-H-R-E-D, Fred.
I mean, Fred, you got a lot of making up to do for the CIA over the years. I hope you do. I hope we can say, CIA, man, they did a good job. Wow. Man, that's a good thing. Oh, yeah, isn't that great? No, I'd love to be able to praise them.
We got a moment. We've got a moment here. It's been a long time since Agnes won a toaster. But I just got... My wife, you know, she's not back here producing, Albert, so my wife emails me during the program. It's pathetic. I think we need counseling. I get text messages, too, from 15 feet away. We're such pathetic technological weenies. But no, Agnes just got the evening's toaster. It's just the reference, just the reference. Under the subject heading National Security, Agnes just sends me an email that says, "All hail K, all hail K." Two for one rentals on Wednesdays. Oh, God.
Oh, good old Agnes. Oh, boy.
Oh, mercy.
I'm telling you.
I love those little moments.
Well, our 19th anniversary will be here in less than a month, and I tell you what, it's been 19 years of stuff like that, and it's magnificent.
That's right.
All A-OK. Hey, Van. These things happen.
Yeah, Van. Hey, if they're not laughing, what are they doing? You know, come on now. You gotta laugh.
So exactly. Funny. Exactly. You know, somewhere in his little coal-lined bunker, Don Blankenship's worrying about having to be stuffed into a two-bedroom apartment with my bunch. Hell, I'd worry, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Brother Bob, you and I could live in a tenement building with you, no problem. You know, but good old Don, you know, when it comes time to picking the radishes in the courtyard and...
What? You know, I'll tell you what, Albert, Bob, y'all go down and pick them lettuces and them radishes, and I'll set up a brokerage.
Yeah.
Don't y'all unionize now.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, I really do think that we're going to see a collapse of this, of what we've had. I do think we're going to see that, but I think we're going to transition quite well. You know, I think it's, you know, it's probably going to be about 5 years after it's going to be self-apparent. You know, once we do, you know, once we're generating 35% of our energy, via solar and another 20-something percent out of wind, because I think they're looking at that maintaining its edge, and the more coal power plants we're closing, you know, the better off it's going to be for everybody. I mean, we're not there at fusion yet, but once we have electrons, there's nothing to stop us from doing almost anything. Yeah, I mean, you know, 3D printers right now they're out of polymers, and soon it'll be out of everything else. Nanotechnology, you know, we need to suck a lot of carbon dioxide out of the air. You know, we're going to suck this carbon dioxide. I'm going to pump it under the ground. Why would we do that? Carbon dioxide is one of the raw ingredients for nanoparticles, and we need it.
And you know, you split it, and oxygen comes in handy sometimes.
Oxygen, that's a little handy once in a while. But that's the key. That's the key. You know, our argument has oxygen. Our argument does photosynthesis. I mean, we're on the side of nature on this. You know, the momentum is with us. I mean, just it's inherent reason. It's these people are crazy when they're fighting against this, and they have a lot of money. And you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you know, these kinds of things. You know, I think these kinds of things were standard. You know, I mean, nobody. You know, I didn't make the energy system that we have. You didn't make the energy. No, none of us did. You know, but heck, this is what we do. And if you don't, you know, I hear people crying about it all the time. If you don't like your power bill, and I don't like my power bill. And I got some other things I got to get done first, but trust me, solar panels on my roof is on the list. It is on the list. I mean, it is there. It's right there, right there. It's over. And every day I turn around, it's even cheaper. Now, I'm not going to wait forever, you know, but I'm going to try to adopt it as soon as I can, because who doesn't need another $180 in their pocket every month?
Well, who doesn't need another $300 leaving it for my coal-fired pals down at Appalachian Power? Oh, by the way, Jug-a-Punch in the chat room found the article. The headline, Mining Magnate Clive Palmer, can't make it up, says CIA is behind campaign to kill coal industry. Green groups want to destroy coal industry. Palmer claims CIA, Barack Obama are in on the sabotage. Let's see. The big difference is that this is funded by the CIA. That's the big difference. You only have to go back to read the Church Report in the 1970s and read the reports to U.S. Congress, which sets up the Rockefeller Foundation as a conduit of CIA funding. You only have to look at the secret budget that was passed by Congress last year, bigger than our whole national economy, that the CIA's got to ensure that. You only have to read... You only got to do a lot of stuff to get to where Clive got to. I mean, is this guy as big a clown in Australia as, say, Don Blankenship is here? You know, I'll get a report back from our Australian audience. Do like little children say, Mommy, Clive's talking crazy on the telly again.
Brother Bob, listen, I'm going to pretend he's right.
The Rockefeller Foundation. You know, life was so much simpler when we could just blame crap on the Illuminati. They're running out of people.
Yeah. They are. The Rockefellers are, and
Is George Soros not, has George Soros not made it to Australia yet? I mean, really, the Rockefeller Foundation, they're rather banal, aren't they?
Yeah, oh, well, of course, and, you know, the Pew Charitable Trust and their art-thieving ways, and, you know, all the robber baron, you know, philanthropist organizations, you know, I'm sure, you know, if they were doing such a thing, heck, they already have more money than, you know, 10,000 generations could spend.
Dude goes on, our jobs, our security, our exports, our balance of payments are transferred to North America when they could be coming for Australians. The Greens in the coming Queensland state election, all their candidates should resign if they're being funded by an offshore political power. It's tantamount to treason. My apologies for the crappy accent, but, you know, I do Blankenship much better. This is on the fly.
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch. You know, I love that. They can always go after George Soros, you know, because he gives a little bit of money to Drug Policy Alliance and Normal or something, and I don't know what else he's doing that's, you know... I don't get my checks from him. I hope you're getting your checks from him, but...
Not one never.
Yeah, come on, Dan. Hook up. Hook it up. You're over there listening. Hook it up. Tell
somebody, please.
Come on. You don't think Bob needs it? Come on. I mean, come on.
The PayPal button's busted. That's what it is.
That is busted. That is. You got to do the gift thing, but that's not too hard to figure out.
Yeah, BobKincaid@gmail.com.
Yeah, pretty easy. It's pretty simple.
And, brother Albert.
Come on.
Yeah, get with it. I got a roll, brother, but I'm glad I conjured you.
If you say it, I'm coming.
All right.
Brother Bob. Be good, man.
Albert. Yeah, it's just like Beetlejuice. See you, brother.
You only got to say it once. Be good.
Bye now. Later. Brother Albert, the sage of southwest Wisconsin, Clive Palmer. You know what? I just know he's met Don Blankenswine. They're bound to swan around somewhere together. Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation? Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Hey, what's happening, Kevin?
Not much. First thing, I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'll mention that I put my $52.50 donation into the mailbox today.
Bless your heart. I do. We all do appreciate it.
And I don't want to end the show on a down note, so I'll tone it down a little. But I've got to say, after listening to the beginning of the program and then the conversation you had with Sandra, I've got to encourage people to continue to protest, even if they put us through these ridiculous strip searches. We can't let that dissuade us from doing what we should be doing.
No.
And, you know, I just...
But if you're in a place or circumstances are such that you know you're putting yourself at risk of this kind of hellish treatment...
Yeah.
I think given the nature, depending on the purpose of the protest or whatever, you know, it is possible to protest and engage in civil disobedience without arrest.
Sure. Then it's also possible to be arrested.
I mean, one of the things that upsets me about seeing people of goodwill arrested in places like D.C. is the fact that that's $100, $100, $100, you know, even without the strip searches, Kevin, $100, $100, $100. Into the pockets of either the parks, the Capitol Police, or the Park Police, or the D.C. Police, that could be used for considerably better purposes.
Yeah,
and in a dangerous place like Appalachia, when innocently sitting down in a public space. Could get you $100,000 bond to add the humiliation of two or three strip searches into that. It has to be taken into account, Kevin. It truly does.
Oh, sure it does. But it's the only way we can stand. We've got to stand up to it. We just can't take.
Oh, no. You can't. No, you can't.
You know, and that's what I would encourage people. There is a little out clause in that ruling they made, saying that if you weren't going into the general prison population, then that didn't need to be done. And I think that's an interesting out clause, because how many people...
Well, that's, you know, Malloy last night suggested that that was the white folks out.
Yeah, exactly, and I agree with him. That's partly what that is. Speaking of that, just as you and Sandra were talking about, the one thing that concerns me is that, just like Malloy says on his show, they want a race war. They want us to be divided against each other.
Right, and that's why I mentioned the business about viewing the Affordable Care Act decision, as if it comes out the way we fear, as a function of a court that is willing to practice social Darwinism and eugenics. And, of course, eugenics was a darling of the fascists, and, you know, Scalia is a fascist. He just is. I mean, I'm not saying that. That's not like saying Antonin Scalia is a booger eater or a poopy head. Antonin Scalia is a fascist. It's not name calling.
No.
It's an accurate description of his politics. Fascism is a real political philosophy. It's a hateful one, but it's also very much a real one, Ken.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, I want to encourage us to stay together, those of us who are on the same side of everything here, to stay together and not let this divide us racially.
Oh, no.
You know, it's only the morons on the right that we need to avoid. I don't care what color they are. If they're a right-winger, you know, you can't even talk to them. There's no sense in even bothering to try to explain something to them because they're so, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear anything different than their worldview. And I find that sad, but at some point I just throw up my hands and say, okay, I tried.
Well, and like Reverbo has so often said, sometimes you just got to realize we're going to have to close the bus doors and drive on. We can't wait forever for them. But it's awful good to hear from you, and we'll have a longer conversation soon, I hope.
All right, Bob, thank you, and have a good evening.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
From Colorado Springs, that's our buddy Kevin. And it's time to get out of here. The email coming in real quick, like from our buddy Robert in Australia. He says, never heard of Clive Palmer. All I can say is that this news is out of Queensland, and Queensland produces some eccentric types. I guess that's kind of like saying an Alabama produces some eccentric types. I think that's in the same drift. But Robert does say the Aussie accent was quite good. Well, that's it. I'm moving. I'll fit right in. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Robert. And thanks for tuning in, joining in. Tomorrow, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday.